Hi, welcome to Our Life in the Trinity. This is Linda Rex. I'm happy to have you with me today. We're going to be looking at the topic of prayer today. And this sermon is for July 30th of 2023. We're proper 12 and it's still in the ordinary days on the Christian calendar. And we're looking at what it means to live this thing out. When we come to faith in Christ, it's a journey and it's a life. And what does that look like to live in relationship with Jesus, with the Father and the Spirit, in day-to-day life? So, let's begin with prayer, and then we'll talk about our topic, read some scripture, and we'll have benediction, communion, and then a benediction at the end. So pray with me, please. Father, Son, Spirit, we're grateful that we can gather today to listen to your word, to hear what you have to say to us. I pray that it'll be what you want said and nothing else, and that we can grow in our relationship with you and draw closer to you. We thank you. This is all through Jesus and by your Spirit. Amen. I was talking to someone the other day and talking about prayer. And prayer can make us uncomfortable. I mean, one person told me that it was like talking to the air. It's kind of creepy, weird to just talk to the air. I understand that. I mean, to me, sometimes prayer can be like, years ago, I was just still in college, and I was asked to stand before this whole gymnasium of people and speak. That was rather scary and intimidating. And sometimes prayer can seem that way because it's like this thing we're uncomfortable with. We don't understand it. It doesn't, I mean, you can imagine, God. Well, a lot of times our vision of who God is impacts our ability to pray. I mean, if we think God is this person who's way up there and unapproachable and scary, yeah, prayer can be kind of difficult. But I think we need to see prayer through the lens of Jesus Christ. I think that is very important. What Jesus taught us was this: prayer is not limited to a certain place. See, for some of us, we believe the only place to pray is in church, or at the dinner table or as we go to bed, because that's how we're taught by our parents sometimes. But Jesus, talking to the woman, the Samaritan woman by the well, told her that it's not about Jerusalem, it's not about this other mountain, it's not about a place, physical place, that we would worship God in spirit and in truth. In this has to do with a relationship. It has to do with persons in relationship. And Jesus was instrumental in bringing us out of the sphere of a place into persons in relationship with Father, Son, and Spirit. And that is what we have to get our mind around, is prayer has to do with a conversation with persons in relationship. And that kind of brings it into a new space. It's no longer about being religious and doing our rituals. It's about we're in this relationship with Father through the Son and the Spirit. We talk to God, Father, Son, and Spirit. We can talk to them individually, collectively. It's a conversation, it's a relationship, and that brings it into a different space entirely for us. Then it becomes something that can be a part of our everyday life, living, walking, talking. Where is the temple where we meet with God? The temple, as Paul says, the Apostle Paul says, is not only the church, the body of Christ. The temple is also our physical body. And we treat our physical body with care and kindness and respect, because that is the place where the Holy Spirit dwells. And because the Holy Spirit dwells in man, then Christ dwells and Father dwells, and God lives here. We encounter God here within, and within the body of Christ, the church, when that church, not as a physical building, but as a group of persons gathered together, there is where we meet with God. So we want to get beyond this thing of it has to be a physical place, it has to be done a particular way, and into the place of personhood in three persons, one being. This is who God is, what Christ has done for us, and bringing us in the middle of their intimate relationship or fellowship, and we have a place there, and this is very important to understand. So the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, Romans 8, 26 to 39 is where we are today, talks about this whole thing of our conversation, our relationship with God in the Spirit through Jesus Christ. So Paul says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. And now, isn't that true? How often you have, or I have, wondered, we want to say something to God, but we don't know what to say. I mean, we're left with nothing left to say. Sometimes we're in such pain and anguish, there are no words for what we're going through. It just hurts way too much. And this is where the Spirit comes in. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So we find that Father, Son, and Spirit are together in this thing of knowing us so deeply. They know what we're going to say before we say it. They know our hearts. They know our minds. They may ask, well, why do they want to talk to him if they know it already? That's relationship. That's relation. That's what we do when we're in relationship with someone, is we have a conversation with them about what really matters, what's really going on inside. That's intimate fellowship. So Paul goes on to say, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called, and these whom he called, he also justified, and these whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, no one's left out of that, all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Now think about it. Sometimes the reason we don't go to talk to God is we kind of know that we haven't got our ducks in a row. You know, we got some issues, and we're embarrassed or we're ashamed to come before God. But see, listen, who will bring a charge against God's elect? Who's elect? Well, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, God elected humanity, all human flesh, to participate with him in his life and love. In Christ, the elect one, the chosen one. It's available for all. God has selected all. What we do with that, of course, that's different. But God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is he who died. Rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. So we got the Spirit interceding for us. We have Jesus Christ interceding for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake, we're being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. There is no one Jesus did not die for. All human flesh was gathered up in his person because he was fully human, fully God. As the one who made all things. As the one who made all things and holds all things by the word of his power, he hung on the cross and he died. And he lay in the grave and he rose. So we find there is nothing, no one is separated from the love of God in Christ. He holds us. Paul says, therefore, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, when we come to prayer, isn't it comforting to know nothing, no matter how big, how small, how awful, how wonderful, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So what have we learned here? Well, we don't need to self-justify, which is where we usually go when something happens, right? We try to justify ourselves. No, we want to turn away from that and rest in Jesus' justifying, glorifying work. It's his work that matters. And rather than trying to get ourselves right with God, we receive Jesus making us right with God. It is Christ's righteousness, his right relationship with God, that matters here, not our own. We are unable to do what needs to be done in this situation. We receive what Jesus has done. He stands in our place on our behalf. He justifies us. He makes us right with God. We receive that and participate in that. And so Jesus intercedes for us. He stands forever, as it says in Hebrews, as the high priest interceding in our place on our behalf. He stands as the one who is not only the judge, but the one who was judged for us. He was willing to be crucified for our sake, and now, even now, stands in our place on our behalf, interceding for us. We find that the Holy Spirit also intercedes for us, because when Jesus died and rose again, he ascended, carrying our human flesh into the presence of the Father. Purified, transformed, our true life is hidden with Christ to God. And he sent the Holy Spirit. So individually, as we receive this gift, we can share in Christ's own personal relationship with the Father and the Spirit. His life becomes our very own. His relationship with the Father, we participate in. His life in the Spirit, we share in. And so, because of that, the Holy Spirit lives in us. And because the Spirit lives in us, wherever the Spirit is, the Father is, that Jesus is. So we find that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple where we meet with God. We have this intercession going on constantly through Jesus and the Spirit. So we find that God Himself, Father, Son, and Spirit, advocate for us on our behalf, defend us, protect us, reconcile us with themselves. They're the ones who bring us into that place where we can have this continuous conversation, where we can share in their life, their love, where we can listen and learn, we can grow, we can be a part of what they're doing. Nothing can separate us from their love. There's nothing in this world as huge and wonderful and or awful and terrible that can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Not even the evil one or the demons. Nothing can separate us from their love. And if you feel something is separating you, think about it this way. Is that the truth? Is it's not the truth? It may feel like the truth. It may appear to be the truth. It may seem to be the truth. But what we just heard is the truth. Nothing can separate us from God's love, because God has come in human flesh, lived our life, died our death, and risen again to bring us in the center of their relationship, Father, Son, Spirit. Nothing can separate us from that, ever. And so we're invited, because of this, to talk with God. Every situation, all times, to remain in conversation, to abide. Jesus says, abide in Christ, abide in me, abide. That means to stay in that place. Jesus has put us there, remain there. And we can talk to God as though God is a father. And if talking to God as a father is uncomfortable because of past experiences or memories, you can talk to God as a brother, as a friend. In fact, the Word of God, the Spirit in the Old Testament, is feminine in gender, and that's language. Gender is not reality, because God is genderless. But perhaps it would make you more comfortable to talk to God as mother, as a spirit, as a sister, a friend. If that is what is required, nor do you feel comfortable, sometimes we want to, and Larry Hinkle calls this our sanctified imagination. And we can use it in a godly, holy way to help us to see God more clearly in a way that we can understand. And we're encouraged, as we're growing in a relationship with God, to listen to God, to give God our attention, to hear His response to us. And a lot of us, and I know this is what I struggle with, is I tend to have a one-way monologue with God. You know, I'd love to just talk to God. But you know what? I'm in relationship with God. And I know what it's like to be in a relationship with someone where all they do is talk to me, and they never listen to my heart, to what I have to say, what's important to me. But we do that to God all the time, don't we? And so there are ways to listen to God, to hear what He has to say. God speaks to us constantly by the Spirit. Remember, it's Spirit. God present by the Spirit. So He speaks to us in many ways, through conversations with others, through, well, today we have a myriad of ways in which God can speak to us, through books, videos, podcasts. Here you're listening to Our Life in the Trinity. Perhaps God speaks to you through that, through conversations with a friend, a pastor. You never know where and how God will speak to you. Sometimes going out and having a walk in nature and just being in the presence of all that grandeur, God speaks to you. But the question is not, is God speaking? The question is, are we listening? Are we hearing? Are we open to what God wants to say to us in that moment? So we find prayer becomes a conversation. and we listen and we grow, and it becomes a part of our everyday life. Something where it becomes natural. It just, after a while, as you do it, as you work and grow in your conversation with God, it becomes natural. It becomes a spiritual reality that's actual in your life. And what we discover is, as we grow in learning to listen to God and talk to God and hear from God and walk with God through Christ and the Spirit, whether we talk to Jesus or we talk to the Spirit or we talk to the Father, when you talk to one, you talk to God, you talk to all, you talk. So as we're having these conversations, becomes a part of everyday life, we may discover that we start looking a lot more like Jesus, which is the whole point. We begin to look a lot more like Jesus. And one of the ways that we commune with God, have this conversation with Him, receive from Him, give to Him, is through communion. We come once a week here on Our Life of the Trinity, and we take bread and wine or grape juice, and we remember that we all died with Christ, we rose with Christ, we share in His glory now and forever. It's His life for our life. Let's pray. Father, Son, Spirit, enable us to grow in our relationship with You. Guide us into a deeper walk with You through prayer. Enable us to hear from You. Give us courage and faith in speaking to You. Awaken us to see You in a way we've never seen You before and hear You in a way we've never heard You before. All through Jesus our Lord and by Your Spirit we pray. Jesus offered His body for us. We receive the gift of life. Jesus offered the cup of the covenant, poured out His blood for us. He was willing to do whatever it took so that we could be in this close, intimate fellowship with Father, Son, and Spirit. Thank You, Jesus. Now, may nothing faze you, because you know Jesus loves you. And may you be absolutely convinced, nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high, low, thinkable, unthinkable, nothing, absolutely nothing can get between you and God's love, because you're held in Jesus' grip. Name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, God bless you. I hope you will come to see us again at Our Life in the Trinity. Visit our blog site, lifeinthetrinity.blog. Our RCL-based group studies, Life in the Trinity Studies at wordpress.com. And be sure to subscribe to our channel here on YouTube. God bless you.